Amen. On the film, you saw me say that we needed $80,000. 4 weeks after I said that, a man came to me and gave it to me. The whole lot. And 10,000 more. So God answered that prayer very quickly. Before that, I was given almost $200,000 to get the work going in Burma and to buy all the land and so on. And it all was given by people who've never been to Burma, who never met Sister Dorcas or the pastor. It was just an incredible time. The money literally fell out of heaven. Amen? Literally fell out. I had the joy of running around grabbing the notes. Amen? Just grabbing the money. You want to do that sometime, don't you? Yeah, well, it's a dream come true. And God quickly provided. And that church and that house went up very quickly. We are renting three other houses to accommodate all the people that work with us. And so everything you saw there is paid for. Amen? So now I'm trying to get some money for ongoing support. We think we will need to start a small little store or shop or small little business or something. And we're working on that at the moment. I'll be going home tomorrow and then leaving again on Friday morning to go there for 9 weeks to start sorting all that out. And it's an ongoing job. It never stops. Sister Dorcas only went to grade 6 in school, but then did 9 years of Bible college in several countries nearby and beat every single man in every single college. Think about it. Grade 6. And all the young pastors, she beat all of them in the final exams in India, in two colleges, and another college in Burma. Quite an amazing person. And with a driving obsession, literally, to win souls. I wish we had that. I wish you could meet her. I mean, it's just, you just have to talk to her to understand that here is a person that thinks of nothing else, only souls. And I talked to some older pastors before I took on the job of helping her get out of the Baptist Union. I talked to some older pastors and I asked them, I said, is this lady for real? It's better to know that before you support somebody, amen? And they said, we've seen this lady walk for 5 days. 5 days walking over mountains by herself, living in the jungle by herself, going to win women and children to Christ. And then the church people were the ones that tried to hinder her from going. And so that's what I pulled her out from, the Baptist Union. Cruel people, and they only gave her $60 a month, $15 a week. She worked 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and then had to work all day Sunday on top of that. Quite an amazing person, wouldn't you say? All right, this is the person that's coordinating all our children's work and women's work. And then young Amos is the pastor. He's also done 6 years of college and pretty sharp guy, but got to learn many things that he needs to know that he doesn't know. He didn't, some things have never taught him. And so that's why I have to keep going there to sort him out. But he's doing well. Amen? So in Luke chapter 5, we read a very interesting story here about what Jesus did on the shore. And in this particular story, I want to show you the attitude of the disciples. The attitude of the disciples. Then I want to show you what did Jesus really say. And then I want to show you what you need to do. Amen? What you need to do. So we read here that these men had been fishing the whole night. And that story is kind of repeated in other places, but it's not quite the same story. They fished all night They caught nothing, and they were already washing their nets over there. And the Lord Jesus spoke to the people. When he was done, he told them, he said, "Now, if you want to catch some fish, I know where they are." And so these fishermen, especially Peter said, "Well, Lord, I beg to differ, because I'm the professional, and what would you know about fishing?" Amen? What would you know about fish? How do you know where they are? See, he's not treating the Lord Jesus as God. Amen? He doesn't understand that part yet. And so the Lord said, "But I want you to go, just go out into the deep." It says, "Launch out into the deep." And he said, "Then put your nets on the other side of the boat." So why did he say the other side of the boat? Because Jesus whistled and the fish came. You understand? They all came to where he told them to come. Just like in the previous lesson, he made an appointment for people to come. Here he made an appointment for the fish to come. Amen? And they all parked on one side of the boat. And Jesus said, "Put all the nets, all your nets, on that side." Now, I want you to see the reaction of the disciples. Peter said, "Look, I'm telling you again, we know what we're doing. There's no fish there, but..." You see, we've always got this "but" in our mouth, haven't we? Always, the Christians are the worst chain smokers on earth. Amen? Always got a "but" in their mouth. Always, but. Always reasoning with God. Don't reason with him. When God speaks, it's already said. It's not going to change. Amen? He's not going to change his mind. He's spoken. That's it for you. He's spoken. And so this is a marvelous story here. And look at what Peter says. He said, "Nevertheless." For I hate that word. "Nevertheless." He said, "Just to shut you up, Lord. Just to shut you up. We'll throw one little net out." Read it. Jesus said, "Put all the nets out." Peter said, "We'll just put one out to keep you quiet." I find that pretty disgusting, amen? You don't talk to God like that. Amen? You don't. But sometimes we do. We only come to church once a week. "Nevertheless, Lord, I know I have to go to a good church, so I'll just show up once a week." Yeah, you're just as bad as they are. Amen? You have a missions conference and then you just come once or twice. Listen, this is the heart of God. This is what God's interested in. This is where you ought to be every time the doors open. Amen? Because the day may come where you'll have to meet in the storm water pipe somewhere down the road there with a few rats inside it because you're Christians. It's not always going to be as nice as this. Not. So Peter said, "Okay, let's do it. Throw the net over." They're out in the deep. Remember that. They're in the deep. And here come the fish. I mean, they're flying into the side of the boat. They're jumping in the net. Probably some of them jumped in the boat. I don't know. They came from everywhere to congregate in the net. And the Bible says the net broke. Why did the net break? Because they would not listen. That's why. They wouldn't listen to Jesus. And then they had to call all their friends because they said, "Oh, we haven't got enough room for all the fish. Now, you guys better come and help us." Because they're disobedient. Amen? Think about it. And what would you have said now? I know we're criticizing them. What would you have said if you were Peter? What would you have said? I don't know. Thinking about myself, I might have had as big a mouth as he did. I might have said the same thing. But that's not the point of the message. The point of the message is Jesus said, "Launch out," right there. "Launch out," verse 4, I think it is. Yes, "launch out into the deep." And then let your net out. Launch out. Did you know what? The deep is where people feel uncomfortable. The deep is where people don't want to be. It's where they lose their security. It's where they can't feel the bottom of the water. It's where the water is dark and you don't know what's beneath the water. It's where, when there's no moon, you don't want to be even in the water, in the deep. Sometimes we have boot camps and where sometimes we're near the ocean. We've done a few of these. We're near the ocean and we have a big rope. We let this massive rope go out into the ocean. And then we tell the young people, especially the tough boys, amen, they're all tough. They're all there and they're like, here I am, brother, look at my tattoo, I'm tough. Yeah, whatever. When you get in there and you have to walk that rope, buddy, and then the sand disappears from under your feet and there's no moonlight and mama's not there to hold your hand, then we can hear the boys whimpering saying, where are you, Pastor? Where are you? Which end are you at, Pastor? I can't see anything. Yeah. And then we found out that the girls have a lot more courage than the boys. Wow. There you go, boys. Think you're so tough? Well, the girls beat you every time. Amen? Most of us don't like the deep. We don't like it in the spiritual sense, and we don't like it in the physical sense. And so what this is saying is, Jesus is saying, okay, you're all down at the shore there, you're all miserable because, the fishermen couldn't catch any fish, but he said, if you want them, they're out in the deep. So what he's pretty well saying is this. He's saying, you're out there, you're splashing your little feet around, your little ankles, you're out there in the beach, and you say, oh, the salt water, so good for you, blah, 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 blah. But it's only up to your ankles. That's not going to do much good, amen? That's going to clean your toenails, that's all. You see? And Jesus is saying, get out from your ankles, get out and get into the deep water where it's over your head. And the part we don't like is we lose control. And when you lose control, it's probably the best part of your life, is when you lose control. Some of you are very strong-headed. You're bull-headed. Amen? That's why God can't get anything done with you. You're too strong-willed. God will need to break you first. He'll bust you and bust your legs and bust your arms and bust your neck until he gets some humility in there, and then he'll put you out in the deep and he'll sort you out. Amen? He will. If he needs you somewhere, you need to be broken before you go. Amen? Before you go, he's going to put you into the deep. Oh, some of you are looking at me like, what does that mean? It means it's going to hurt. Got it? It's going to hurt. Nothing you can do about it. It's going to hurt. And so the Lord says, if you get out into the deep, that's where the action is. And Jesus said, if you get out into the deep, that is where I'm going to meet you. Not there in the shallow, not with the little waves coming up, the little surfing waves that are this big. Nah, I'm not there. Amen? I'm out there. You want to see me? You want to touch me? You want to know what miracles mean and what they are and what they'll do? I'll meet you in the deep. Are you coming? My hand is outstretched. Are you coming? Maybe. In the deep. You know why most of us never see a real live miracle? We're never in the deep. We're fiddling around in the shallow end. We never see miracles. We never see God at work.
Because we're not close enough to him. He's, listen, there's a line there. God's not going to cross the line. He's holding his hand out. He's not coming any closer. You have to, by faith, you have to, by faith, get out there and touch him. So I'm here. Yes, it can be frightening. Yes, it can be scary. Yes, it can be something brand new for you, but it needs to be done. You want to meet Jesus? That's where it's happening. That's where it's happening. Right there in the deep. Some of you fathers never been out in the deep. Your wives have been out in the deep, but you men haven't been out in the deep. You're too comfortable at home, doing your own little thing, pottering around a shed.
Pottering around. I'm doing something.
Yeah, but you've never been out in the deep. Get out! Wake up! That's where God wants you to come. He's calling. Come! And you're just going to die one day. You're just going to drop dead. And all you've ever done is stood in the shallow part of the pool and played with your little rubber ducky, your 10-4 ducky. Amen? You're out there saying, wakey, wakey. There's miracles out there. There's big things out there. Big things. And I went to Burma. I didn't have a penny in my pocket. I came to God and I said, God, I need lots of money here. Churches wouldn't give the money in Australia. I had to go looking for it in the US. And one morning I got up. The Lord said, you lied to me. He said, you've got retirement money. You lied to me. Well, I said to God, I haven't got any money. Amen? He said, now go to the bank and take it all out. Every dollar. Every dollar. Take it out. So I did. He said, good, now you got money. Now, give it all away in Burma. All of it. Well, I said, amen, Lord. But I still need another 100,000. And I went over to the US and talked to a little pastor in a tiny little church, half the size of this one. He said, how did you get the first lot of money? And I told him. He said, good, that's a great idea. I think I'll do that too. But he had a lot more money. He pulled out 100 grand. Just like that. Bang. Then I went to 3 churches and told them the same thing. And they pulled out another 100 grand. And there we are. Am I sorry I spent it? Not on your life. Not on your life. I want to spend my money while I'm living. I don't want to leave it for the devil when I'm dead. You understand me? Christians are going to leave billions, billions of dollars to the devil when they're dead. Because they never gave it when they were alive. You have the opportunity to give. Pastor explained it to you. Give. Give. When I was pastoring, I told my people one Sunday, I got up and I said, I'm doing this on the spur of the moment, amen? I haven't even thought about this, but when the offering plate comes around, I want you to empty your wallet, all of it, into the offering bag. Every dollar. I said, now, if through the week, till next Sunday, you can't make it, or you can't pay your bills, call me, I'll take care of it. I didn't get one call. Not a one. Why? Because God took care of all of it. And if you give to God, he'll take care and give you more back. But most of us won't take that step. We won't step out into the deep. We won't go and put empty our wallets out into the offering bag. Oh, that's too heavy. Amen? So I did it another Sunday. People emptied their wallets out, nobody called. And then our faith promise went up through the roof, man. I mean, it just took off. Why? People could see the hand of God to give. And God supplied everything extra they gave that they'd never given before. God kept giving it to them. But that's stepping out into the deep. That's what that is. You know, we keep thinking we're running short. No, you're not. What you don't give, by the way, listen now, what you don't give, you spend on yourself. You're spending on yourself. Amen? I walked down the street one day with five Indonesian pastors in Indonesia. I was walking, talking to them. I was trying to observe what was going on the footpath. Every 20 paces in Indonesia, there's a beggar. And I walked past a particular one, and the Spirit of God said, "Did you see him?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm looking over here." "Yeah, I saw him." And God said, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Well, Lord, I didn't bring my wallet." And then my pants just came from the dry cleaner. There's nothing here. God said, "I didn't ask you that." He said, "What are you going to do with this guy?" I turned around, had a good look at him. He was a Muslim. Had his little Muslim cap on. No eyes, couldn't see. No tongue. Somebody had cut it off. He had no arms. He had no legs. And there was a little tin there. And God said, "Now, what are you going to do?" And these five pastors are all watching. Yeah. So I put my hand in my pocket, and there was a $50 US note in my pocket. I thought, gee, the dry cleaner's so generous, you know. I didn't put it in there. I never changed any money. I knew where it came from. God said, well, I said, "Good." Well, I went over there and I tucked it in that guy's shirt because he didn't have any arms. And I told one of the pastors, I said, "You tell him I put $50 in there, it'd be enough for the whole month." Amen. And I put a little gospel track in there for him to read. And then another pastor came running over. He put his hand in the shirt and took the money out. He said, "He's just a beggar. Don't give him anything." So, the only choice I would have had was to spend it on myself. Okay. You understand? If you don't give it, this is where you spend it. So I told that what that pastor said, "I'll meet you down at the ice cream shop. But we had a little chat there, amen? A little talk about giving. You see, that poor man couldn't hear the gospel. He was deaf as well. He couldn't see, he couldn't speak, he couldn't hear. Had no arms and no legs. But somebody may have told him the gospel. Those pastors wouldn't even be bothered to tell him the gospel. Where are you going to spend your money before you spend it on yourself? Amen? Amen? You have got plenty of money. You're in a generous country. And so Jesus basically said to them, "I'll be generous to you. If you just put the net out and do as you're told, I'll be generous." And he was. Many years ago, a young girl, 9 years old, called her mother to her bed one day. She said, "Mother, I'm going to die soon." The mother said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm going to die soon." And the mother started running around in the town to the doctors everywhere. They all checked her and nobody could find anything wrong. Soon after that, that girl got sicker and sicker. And she told her mother, she said, "I'm nearly there. But I'm saved. And I'm not afraid." And then that little girl called her older sister to her bed. And under her pillow, she took out a little envelope with a few coins. And she said, "These coins are to be used for the first children's home that you start. The first children's work that you begin. This is what I've saved up." Now, very, very poor, so it meant a lot, these few coins. She gave it to her sister. And then within a week, she was dead and gone. That older sister was Sister Dorcas that you saw in the film. That vision never escaped. That vision stayed with her. And she would tell me, she should say, "I would sit in Bible college and I would draw a children's home. I kept drawing them. I kept thinking what it would look like one day, what I could do with all these children." And everywhere we go in town in Burma, everybody knows this lady. Everybody. Everybody's been in her Sunday school classes, to her children's camps, to her women's meetings. Everybody knows. But it was the vision of a little girl. That little girl's ministry, her life, was just to pass on one little vision. And then she could go to heaven. What did she do, that little girl? She launched out into the deep, unafraid. That is where she met the Lord Jesus. Right there. Where we are afraid to go, where we're too lazy to go, where we listen to other voices all the time, where we're not prepared to make a sacrifice, that little girl went. We just talk about it. She went. Unafraid. Few people came to the funeral. No one took much notice. But she met her Saviour. She made her commitment. She said, "I'll be there. I'm not afraid that the bottom has fallen away in the ocean and I can't feel it. I'm coming." See, faith will get you there. Faith will take you there. And so the little dream came true, but she probably saw it from heaven. Maybe God's got the same thing for you and mine, but there are hindrances. There are hindrances. There are things you want in life that your heart is going to fight to the death to have. Maybe that was is your greatest hindrance. That little girl knew she was going to die before everybody else knew. And now it's all coming true. I talk to them every day now because they're working hard. She says, "Oh, Brother Anger," she says, "I'm as free as a bird to go wherever God calls me to go. I'm no longer bound by people in the Baptist Union. I can go." This morning, what's binding you? Maybe you have a good job. Maybe even out of your job you could do something for God. that will reach many people. Think about it. What could you do? Is it too much to think of a lot of children being around you and what you could do with them all? Is that too much to think? Soon they grow up. And soon they'll have to make their choice as well. But you are part in those lives. You're a part to play. You can say things to them and teach them things so that in life they can grow. Who's interested in children? Not many people. Many churches I go to, the pastor has to beg for someone to take care of the children. Because not many people are interested. Amen? Who's going to do it, folks? Who's going to launch out and see the miracles? Who? I've seen plenty in my lifetime. Plenty and plenty of miracles. One after another. Know why? Because life out there doesn't mean much to me. Money means nothing to me. Nothing. If you put $1 million in my hand, I've already got it spent by the end of the week. It means nothing to me. Nothing. I'm not in love with it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want fancy clothes. I don't want fancy cars. I don't want fancy anything. I just want to see people go to live with God. That's all. Would you be part of that? Now, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. At a missions conference, any missions conference, we get the fewest people ever move from their seats. Simply because they think that if they move from their seat and come forward to pray, then the whole church thinks they're going somewhere next week. No, that's not what we're doing here. But sometimes we need a bit of a nudge, amen? We need to give you a nudge to say, if you don't offer yourself to God, nothing is going to ever happen. You have to take the chance that God has prepared you to do something, amen?
Amen.
Alright, so when you come forward, you say, God, now I've done the preparation, I've been here in church for 20 years, amen? I've done all the learning I have to do, it's all been done now. Now, I'm here, there's the altar, I'm laying down, so to speak. Now, if there's something, dear God, you want to convey to me, something you need to tell me, something I should be doing, now's the time to tell me. But some of you have already shut off. Oh, I'm not called. I'm not called. How do you know that? If you've never laid on the altar, you've never been broken. Oh, that's just me. We're a little hasty, aren't we? Sometimes we know when to be hasty. Amen? Amen? Yeah, that could be when God's calling. That's when you get hasty to say no. You listening? Amen? And we need to understand that when you come forward and you say, here I am, Lord, here I am, now speak. So when you come forward, you come to an empty board. It's like a white board that has nothing on it. That means you haven't touched it. You haven't brought any ideas to God because He's not interested in your ideas. What you want to do is worth a broken stick to God. What's a broken stick worth? Nothing. He only has one plan. It's His plan, not your plan. If they happen to cross paths, well, praise God. Amen? But usually they don't. We're going this way and God says, I'm going another way. So when you come forward, you're saying, God, the board is empty. You begin to write. Come on, Daddy, how about you? Come on. I know you're mad at me. It's okay. I'll sleep well tonight. Don't worry. But the board is blank. What about you? Maybe you've just come to this country and you think you've found heaven here. And God might be saying, okay, I can leave again now and go somewhere to another country. Oh, but Lord, this is a wonderful place. No, this is not the place where you're going to stay. Alright? This is not it. I'm in a church with 300 migrants. None of them are leaving to go anywhere. Oh, you know that? No point preaching. They're not going anywhere. They've come for a better life, and that's it. They've stamped it. They said, thank you, God, I'm here. It's done. Huh? So what's the point of preaching? No point. They have to be busted and broken. Amen? Before there's any kind of response. And so, when you come, you say, God, I'm here. The board is blank. I'm ready. You write. And don't say, I'm going to add to what you write. He doesn't need you to add anything. He made the whole universe by himself, without you and without your knowledge. Say amen. Did he do a good job? Did he need you? No. No. So, are you going to do that this morning? You're going to say, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm here. Speak. He may not talk to you for a year. But you've invited him. Amen? You've made the invitation. You bought the board. You bought the altar. You're laying on it, just like, who did that to his son? Huh? Yeah? Who? Abraham. Well, what did the son do? Did he climb off the altar? No. He waited. He got out into the deep and he waited. And then God provided. So this morning, deal with the fear, please. If you're not sure what God wants you to do, deal with it. Don't wait for him to have to deal with you. That is far more costly and painful. It's better for you to come, lay down, and leave it. Say, God, do what you have to do. You may be here for another 10 years after you pray that prayer. But it'll all be preparation. Amen? Preparation. Let's stand as the pastor comes.